It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, June 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. Several states have been discussing the possibility of transferring some federal lands to the states. Colorado was one of them, but current and former federal officials say it's a non-starter. Benta Berkland has more.
Utah, Wyoming, Montana, and Colorado are among the states debating or studying the issue. Speaking at a recent summit on protecting Colorado open spaces, former Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar says it's not worth spending time on.
To them, I say, you're headed in absolutely the wrong direction.
Last legislative session, state lawmakers debated a bill to study transferring the more than 20 million acres of federal land in Colorado. Any action to take over federal lands would require congressional approval. Supporters say states can do a better job of managing forests and reducing the wildfire risk. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
What does it take to make ends meet in Colorado? A new report tries to answer that question. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Colorado's minimum wage is $8.23 an hour, and there are only three counties in the state where that would be an adequate wage for a single adult working full-time, according to a recent report from the Colorado Center on Law and Policy. Claire Levy, the advocacy organization's executive director, explains the measure used in the report.
The self-sufficiency standard identifies what income is needed in order for a family of various sizes to be completely self-sufficient. That is, providing their housing, childcare, food, transportation, health care, and paying their taxes.
The study finds that the amount of money a person has to earn and not need government assistance rose dramatically. The state standard is over 50% higher than it was 14 years ago. It also varies by county. For example, in Delta County, a single adult with a preschooler needs to earn $17.54 an hour to make ends meet. In San Miguel County, that minimum is more than $24 an hour. And in Pitkin County, it's over $30. Those figures represent full-time workers. Levy says the increase in the self-sufficiency standard is driven by rising health care, food, child care, and housing costs. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Police in Grand Junction responded to an unusual situation late last month. An abandoned car was found in the city to be radioactive. The hazardous materials crew from the Grand Junction Fire Department responded. This is Sean Montgomery with the department.
From what we were able to figure out with some of the possible radioactive reading, small readings coming off of an abandoned vehicle, as much as we could surmise there. So obviously, we don't deal with that very often, you know, thank goodness. So we were able to call our state representative and also the DOE, Department of Energy, and they were able to come out. And the first thing that they do is assess if there's any type of public health risk. That's our number one priority, regardless of how the car got there, whose car is it, you know, what's going on. We don't care. The initial response is there a public safety hazard? And there wasn't.
The case is now being investigated by state authorities. Marcia Neal, the chairwoman of the Colorado State Board of Education, has resigned. In a letter she wrote to the rest of the board, she cites her health as one reason, but the main issue is conflict with the board and the lack of focus on the well-being of the state's students. Neal, a Republican from Grand Junction, was recently re-elected last November. She will continue to serve on the board until the end of July. After a mild and wet spring, temperatures along the Front Range are expected to soar into the 90s this week, and that has fire managers on edge. The Secretaries of Interior and Agriculture are using this lull in the fire season to call for changes in how the federal government funds wildfire suppression. Benta Berkland has more.
While Colorado has experienced much-needed rain this spring, the director of the Colorado Division of Fire Prevention and Control, Paul Cook, is still expecting an average fire season.
The moisture has helped considerably, at least to forestall the onset of the fire season, which we know is coming.
But the state should be better prepared for wildfires with the addition of two specialized planes. They can spot a wildfire in its very earliest stages. The state legislature funded the aircraft last year, but Cook says it took time to bid and win contracts.
We can go out behind lightning strikes and look for the fires when they're small, or we can go out with smoke reports and find the fires so there's no delay in getting on those fires.
Specialized equipment like this means the cost of fighting wildfires in Colorado and the West continues to go up, especially as more people live in and near forests. On Tuesday, the Secretary of the Interior and Agriculture Secretary used the backdrop of Colorado's snow-capped peaks to urge a change in how the federal government pays to fight catastrophic wildfires.
And I think one of the things that's commonly not understood is the amount of money the federal government spends in these states, particularly on fighting wildland fire.
That's Interior Secretary Sally Jewell. She and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack want Congress to pay for the most devastating wildfires from a separate disaster fund. Under the current mechanism, Vilsack says the Forest Service often has to borrow hundreds of millions of dollars each year from programs for forest restoration to instead help fight wildfires.
The solution is for these fires to be looked upon in the same way we look at tornadoes and hurricanes and floods. They're disasters, they're natural disasters, and they should be funded as such.
Over the last decade, Vilsack says the Forest Service has also faced a nearly 40% reduction in the number of people working to keep forests healthy and preventing wildfires.
So it's less people, you know, unstable financing, so it's very difficult. And people say, well, you should have partnerships. We have partnerships with utilities, with the ski resort community, to try to leverage our resources, but there is a limit to how much you can leverage.
Earlier this year, Colorado's state legislature unanimously passed a resolution in both chambers to support creating a separate line item in the federal budget for catastrophic wildfires. But efforts in Congress have stalled. Jewell says it's short-sighted for Congress not to act.
When we invest in preventive actions like fuels removal, or making our communities more fire resilient by building fire lines around them preemptively, we are actually reducing the costs long term.
But it would be an increase to the overall federal budget, which some members of Congress oppose. For his part, Director Cook says he agrees with the secretaries.
It does make sense. The day of robbing the mitigation programs to pay for suppression needs to end.
The Wildland Fire Potential Outlook for 2015 says areas of extreme drought will still remain over California, western Nevada, and parts of Oregon. That's despite wetter spring conditions across much of the Front Range and other states such as Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Positive ID and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.